The Mizrachav Gimel. So I better prepare well.
Recording in progress.
Okay. Good morning. Good morning. Okay. Alan, how's your mother doing?
Better than yesterday.
Good that I should play.
Thank you.
Okay, here we go. We're up now towards the end of Mizrachav Beis. We're up to Pasuk Chaf Ches. Pasuk Chaf Ches. Page 204, Yizku v'yashuvu l'Hashem kol afsi aretz v'yishtachvu l'fanech kol mishpachos kvarim. We all look to the very end, and then we're going to selectively discuss some of the, I'll do the Rashi and the Mitzudas, then we'll come back and selectively discuss some of the Mepharshim. May Hashem, Yizku, they will remember, and they will return to Hashem, all of those, kol afsi aretz. What is afsi? Afsi means the ends of the earth, which similarly over here means an expression to refer to the people that are scattered throughout the entire world. They will bow before you, call mishpachos goyim, all of the families of goyim. Now, this is a topic we mentioned many, many times, that there's something called a nation and there's something called families. Klal Yisrael, we look at a nation as an am. And we find this in a few places in Tanakh where the goyim are not called nations. They're called nothing more than families, like the Indians. Okay, did the Indians ever consider themselves to be a nation? Okay, in the American Indians, what?
The clans.
So yeah. You're gonna go call America a clan? You're gonna go call a Russia a clan?
We didn't use that term today.
So we don't use, but yet the Pasuk uses it. Yet the Pasuk in describing Yemos HaMashiach, it refers to the nations of the world as nothing more than clans, than families. They will bow before you, call mishpachos goyim. It does not say anywhere a nation. The only one in Achris Hayyamim that will be considered to be a full-fledged nation will be Klal Yisrael. Everyone else will be nothing more than a clan, the mishpacha of the goyim. Let's see the Mitzudos of Pasuk Chafes. The Mitzudos Pasuk Chafes on page 205. Page 205 of the Mitzudos David, Yizku begoydel pili Hashem v'yashuvu kulam elof. There's many interpretations. These psukim are abstract, vague, abstract. They're not clear exactly who are we referring to. And each one of the mefarshim is a little bit of a different understanding. According to the Mitzudos, we are referring to Yemos HaMashiach, and the goyim here are going to be given an opportunity to do teshuvah, and they will witness miracles. Miracles. Next, pasuk. Let's see the Rashi. Pasuk Chavches. Yizku v'yashuvu el Hashem. Yizku ha'umay. So, according to again the Mitzudos, they're going to remember what? They're going to remember the miracles, the Pilei Hashem. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says they're going to remember the difficulties, the tzoros of the Jewish people. Yizkru ha'umos hara'ah shemitzo'asnu, that came upon us. The goyim are going to remember that the Jewish people suffered throughout the history. Kishiyiru esatoiva, when they see the blessing. What does that mean exactly? It's not so clear what this means over here. That the goyim, the end of days, the goyim are going to see the Jewish people reign supreme, and they're going to reflect. How could it be that Klal Yisrael today is elevated, is glorified, and in the past, throughout history, the Jews were always on the bottom, and that is going to cause them, trigger in their minds a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He runs the world. If it could be that Klal Yisrael, throughout history, they were so lowly, they were hated, they were nothing, and now they control the world, it forces them to reflect and understand and to witness the Yad Hashem. And what will they do? The Yeshuvah El Hashem, that will trigger in them the desire to do Teshuvah. So Yizkeru, one with the Yizkeru, they're going to remember, this is one word, there's a psik. The Pasuk Chavches Yizkeru, it's self-assumed, self-understood that right now they're witnessing incredible miracles. They're witnessing Klal Yisrael rise higher and higher. And they, at the same time, they recognize, how could this be? How could they rise to such an exalted level when in the past they suffered? They suffered so much. That's going to trigger an emotion, an intellectual appreciation of Hashem, and that will trigger v'yoshuvu el Hashem, call afsi, or it's every nation of the world, v'yishtachavu lefanecha, they will bow before you, call mishpachos ha'goyim, two different descriptions.
Wait a second. Doesn't there have to be a war first?
Well, that was the past. I mean, it's very vague, you're right. It's very vague. And you have to go back and somehow find the war in the beginning of the middle of the parak.
We're talking about whoever is left over. Who's
correct.
Left out
correct.
That.
Correct. Yes, correct. Correct. See, we have a fundamental machlokes between Rashi and the Mitzudos as what is the meaning of the word Yizkeru. Are they remembering pilois, wonders, or are they remembering our suffering? It's very, very strange because you don't find today Goyim could care less about the suffering of the Jews. You really see such a thing that Goyim, they remember that we suffered and it makes a difference to them. It's like such, to my mind at least, it's such a foreign concept that a non-Jew today would go through the effort to study history and recall how the Jews suffered and were tormented and were oppressed. You don't see that. We have a hard time.
You just saw it in the Church of England. You saw that.
No,
you don't see it on mass.
Well, the 800 years too late.
We have a hard time reflecting upon our own suffering. So the Goyim, they could kill us. But according to Rashi, you have to have faith in Rashi. No, the day will come when the Umay Sa'ilam, they will reflect, they will study history, they will acknowledge our suffering, and they will see where we're holding today, and that is going to create an awakening that there is a creator. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are the chosen nation. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan throughout world history to elevate Klal Yisrael because they are the Am HaNivchar to serve Hashem. And if the Goyim want to exist, they want a part in this, they have no choice but to repent or just disappear. Okay, that's what Rashi says. Next Rashi, but next Pasuk. Pasuk, this is probably one of the most famous Pasuk in the whole Sefer. Ki La Hashem HaMelucha Umoshel Bagoyim. To Hashem is the Melucha, kingdom, and he is a ruler amongst the nations. Let's see Rashi first. Ki Hashem HaMelucha, ki Yiru Shehechezarta, Lucha HaMelucha Vahamem Sholah. So Rashi says something very shocking. Very shocking. This is the Rashi, when we read this passage very often, it could be there's a passage, same exact passage appears other places as well. So it could be some sukkim are repeated. But here, Rashi says that in the context of this passage, it is not a statement. If you just take this passage the way it is, you're taking it out of context. And it's part of the story. Why will the nations of the world do teshuvah? Because kiyiru, because they are witnessing shechzarta lucha hamalucha v'hamem shalah, because they're witnessing that Klal Yisrael has returned to Hashem the milucha v'hamem shalah. Throughout history, there's a denial of God's existence. Okay, throughout history, I was learning in the second part of the shiur about Russia, about Kohanim. This is Parshas Emor. The Yichus of Kohanim. May I have really great stuff for you about what it says on a Matzeva. What it says on a Matzeva, how significant is that to prove a person is a Kohen? Big shayla. So part of that discussion, some of the Pesachim is Russia, they worked overtime to be oiker, to uproot any zecher of the Ribbono Shel Olam. To the Oiker Yiddishkeit, to a degree that today I don't think anyone could appreciate. We cannot appreciate. You read what went on in Russia. You know, you live in America, and America today, mind your business. It's the land of the free. It's a tremendous chesed. You have freedom of religion. You can do whatever you want. No one cares. No one bothers you. That was not the way it was in world history. In Russia, for hundreds of years, the whole goal of the communists and before them was to be oiker Yiddishkeit, to mamish, to uproot Yiddishkeit. And today, you know, today there's also a very violent element in America. You know, it's a small element, but they make a lot of noise. Empty cans make a lot of noise. And this fringe element, they make a lot of noise. And their attempt to be oiker Hashem, as the creator. It's unbelievable. It's really, it's very frightening.
Well, isn't it that they want to uproot all religion? Like I say, all Hashem. Not necessarily Jewish.
Correct. It's not right. It's not right. It's not
Miyuchat. Atheism.
Right. Exactly. It's not Miyuchat. Right. It does not have anything to do with Jews. It's just a general religion in general. There is an element today that's very, very vocal. Very. It doesn't seem they're big. They're a large number. You read all, you know, the news file. This horrible element, right, of to deny the existence of Hashem, this kind of person, and. In times of Mashiach, Klal Yisrael will lead in restoring HaMelucha VaHaMemshala, the Melucha VaHaMemshala. When the Goyim see how Klal Yisrael has returned, Machzer Atar LeYoshna, despite their attempts to deny Hashem's existence, Klal Yisrael will succeed in returning the Malchus to Hashem, the world will acknowledge that there is a Creator. And they will then reflect upon the history of the Jewish people. This will trigger in them the need to do teshuva v'yeshuvu el Hashem kol afsi aretz v'yishtachvu l'vnech kol meshchos goyim. When will this happen? When they witness ki la Hashem hamelucha u'moshel ba'goyim. When they witness the Jewish people restore Hashem's malchus and authority. Everyone, by the way, knows what is the Malmo. We're not going to go through the Malmo here in detail, but the Malmo, everyone knows this, that what is the difference between a Melech and a Moshel? A Melech is like democracy. You lead by the will of the people. You're elected. An elected official. Ein Melech beloy am. There's no such thing as a Melech without a people. You can't be a Melech. You need legitimacy. The people who you serve have to acknowledge your malchus. A moshel is a dictator,
right.
Totalitarian form of leadership of governance. It doesn't make a difference if you accept me or not. We're gonna have an election, and there's gonna be only one person on ballot. And if anyone doesn't vote for that person, for me, for then, execution. So what's the purpose of having a vote if everyone is only one person on the ballot? For the world should know that we
that's meant to be by Igash when Yosef tells the brothers to tell the father by Simeinu Liyom the Pharaoh, Uliadol L'chol Beiso, Moshel B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. And that's what the Mepharshim say.
There are different levels.
Eretz Mitzrayim, he had to be
very tough, right. Very tough.
Okay.
Oh, two words, right? These two words. There are two elements. Every leader has an element where you have to have legitimacy. There has to be malchus, ein melech b'loy am. But the purpose of a leader, to a degree, is you elect because you trust him. And if you trust him, he will force you, whether you like it or not, to follow certain rules and laws. That's the every form of malchus has both elements. Every form of leadership. On the one hand, you're not going to get the job unless the people want you. Mitzad Sheni, the purpose of you getting the job is that you lead and you force the people to do what you feel is best, is in their best interest. And every form of governance in the entire world has to deal with that balance. Where on this scale is a decision of a leader all dependent upon the people, midin malchus, and when does the leader have the right executive order? I don't care if the whole country likes him. The President of the United States, I mean, there's enormous power. He can make a decision. The entire country, every single citizen in the country can disagree with his decision, and he has power, according to the Constitution, to make decisions that every single citizen of this country disagrees with. You elected me. I am now in control. I can make these decisions. You want to get rid of me? You have to wait until the next election. Or you have to impeach me. You have to find some rules. And you have to hope and pray that the government, people still accept the person. It's extremely complicated. But over here you have in one pasuk, again, this concept of Yilash HaMelucha U'moshel Bag. Look at the Malbum. The Malbum, look, the Ber HaMilos. The there on page 204, Mamalucha Moshel HaMoshel Hu Biyot Chazaka. Moshel is with an iron fist. Umitzad Ze Yosef Lopam Toyar Moshel Ki ha-melech hu b'haskama asam. A melech always means the haskama, an elected official. That's a melech, a moishel is a dictator. Okay, the Omar Malchuso, his Malchus Bakol Mashallah, that's a poetic expression which means the synthesis of the two together. Hashem is the Melech, Ein Melech Goloyam. Okay, now we go, but Rashon is all about Malchus. It's a Hamelech Hamelech. Akhalid is that where we accept Hashem's authority. And Rosh Hashanah, we blow the shofar in order to accept Malchus, Ein Melech Goloyam. Let's go further. Now let's see the mitzvahs pasuk chavtes and the mitzvahs David on one line on page 205. Ki Hashem hamalucha v'tzen olema hakol yakiru asher Hashem hamalucha v'humoshel b'chol agoyim. Everyone acknowledges okay, these two things go together. Pasuk lamed, pasuk lamed. By the way, okay, pasuk lamed ochel. Now here it gets a little more complicated. Ochelu v'yistachavu kol dishnei eretz lefonov. Yichru kol yerde ofar v'nafsho lo chia. Very hard pasuk to translate. They will eat. Ochlu means what? In the past tense. Ochlu, they have eaten. Ochlu vayishtachavu, and they have bowed. Kol dishne eretz. What does it mean dishne? Dishne means fat. It seemingly means people that are enjoying the fat of the successful people.
The best.
The best. Ochlu, they have eaten, vayishtachavu. Let's put a pause there because of psik and they have bowed. Then it says, kol dishnei eretz lifonov. No, it doesn't really follow. Let's go back and try it again. Ochlu, they've eaten, kama, put the kama afterward, ochlu. And then we'll read Vayishtachavu kol dishnei eretz, and they have bowed all the people who have benefited from the best of the earth. Then it says before you yichru kol yerdei ofar, they will bow all those who descend into the earth, those who die, v'nafsho, and their neshamos lo chiyo. All come out, almost all mefarshim seem to learn chiyo in the future tense. I'm not familiar with the grammar here, but it's like there's a yud, yichya. It's a usual form of the word, and their neshamos will not be brought back to life. They will not experience techiyas hamesim. Now, I'm just saying words, I'm not explaining. Let's try to figure this out in the mitzvah stuff at first. And I have to remember, all the mafarshim, each one of the commentaries is going to have a slightly different interpretation of this very difficult pasuk. Pasuk lamed. And the mitzvah stuff it. Kol dishnei eretz, kol malchei ho'adoma. He learns the word dishnei refers to kings. So if you notice, we have over here now a new dimension. We have the afsei eretz, we have the mishpachos ho'adoma, we have now a third term called the kings of the earth. The mitzudos David takes the word. I told the lost level there are going to be no nations. All nations will be reduced to clans, families, tribes. That's not what the Mitzvah David seems to say. He seems to learn the word Dishnei is an expression which alludes to kingdoms, alludes to kings, people who have authority in this world. Malchus, the fat of the earth, they are just people that are scattered in the far corners of the earth that are not part of any government, not part of any organization. Then there are families, clans, tribes, and then there are people who are members of a state that has a malchus called dishnei eretz. All the people who are part of a malchus. That these are the words of the Mitzvah David called malchei ho'adama. Kasher yoichlu mo. Now this goes back on the ochelu when they eat something. What do you mean they eat something? Ritzon Olaymar, Ka'asher yovo lohem toiva. In the end of days, the nations of the world, okay, these are insights into Yemos HaMashiach from David HaMelech, his version, his image of what he saw is going to happen in times of Mashiach, they will receive blessing. And when they receive their blessing, the Yishtachavu Lashem will bow to Hashem. Why? In the end of days, the goyim are going to receive blessing. And when they receive the blessing, they're going to acknowledge that this came from Hashem. obviously only through Klal Yisrael will they come to that appreciation. And then it says, Yichru'u, they will then bow, another word for Hishtachava. There are two words here for Hishtachava. There's Vayishtachavu, and there is the word Yichru'u. There are two different words. Now the word Yichru, according to the Mitzvot, means, let's see, Kol Yordi Ofar, Kol B'nei Adam HaMe'utodim. The word Me'utodim means designated, Loredes, to descend Ba'afar HaKever, into the grave. The Nafshoi, and these people, Aval Hashem Lo Yichayeh Af Nefesh Achas Mehem. Now one of these people will merit resurrection, Tichiyah Sameisa. So it appears that what he's saying here is, he's saying here is that in this one pasuk, maybe I'm mistaken in the Mitzvot, but I'm going to assume this for the moment now, there are two categories of people being mentioned here in the Mitzvot. There are people called the Dishnei Eretz, and these people are good because they are described as being in a state of Hishtachavo, humbling themselves before Hashem. Then there is another category of people called the Yordei Ofar, and they are called, they are in a state of Yichru, which means they're going to die. They're going to die and descend into the ground because these people do not appreciate, are not willing to acknowledge Be'acharis Hayamim, that everything that has happened in world history and all of their blessing has come from Hashem. And for these people, v'nafsho, it's the collective noun, the neshamas of all of the people in the last category will not merit tchiyas hameisim, or will not merit eternal life. Everyone else here in this, on this page, it would appear to a degree, does merit some type of afterlife. Okay, this is obviously a very big topic of discussion. Do goyim have olam haba? Do goyim have Tchiyas HaMeisim? These are very great mysteries, which obviously we don't know what these things mean. But also, what does that mean? That's a big topic. Does that mean they have the same chiluk as a Jew? The same thing? No one came back to tell us what it's all about, what goes on up there, how all this works. But it does appear that even a non-Jew, and even a non-Jew is. It's created in the Tselen Elohim, has spirituality, and there is an afterlife for them as well, to a degree, whatever that means. A member of Klal Yisrael, they have something entirely different, a different place, a whole different Olam Haba. What about Tchiyas HaMeisim? Are the Chassidei Umay Yisraelim, will they merit Tchiyas HaMeisim? These are all mysterious things, which are not for us to understand. But in this one pasuk, there are two words. There's a word called Yichru. Now, all these words are always defined based on their context. We say in a language every single day. V'anachnu koirim u'mishtachavim. We are koireh u'mishtachav lefnei melech malchei amlech ha'kadosh baruch hu. Then it goes on to say, lefanech kol basar Yichru'u. Okay, so in that expression, Aleinu, the word Yichru'u does not necessarily mean they're going to die and go into the grave and go to Gehenna and cease to exist. It all depends on the context of where it's being used. In this one pasuk, there are two words. There's the word vayishtachavu, and there's the word v'yichru. In the word, in this last expression, it says something very frightening. V'nafshoy loy chiyo. Their neshamos will not live. So obviously here, the word yichru in this context refers to people that are very evil, and yichru does not mean they are consciously humbling themselves before Hashem as an expression of Hachna. It means they're going to die. They're going to be obliterated. They're going to come to an end because they have failed to witness the greatness of Hashem and conform to the world of reality. They're living in a world of fantasy. That's what appears to be. I'm reading a little bit more into what it says in the Mitzudos based upon the way the other Mefarshim are reading this pasuk, because many of them are taking this pasuk and dividing it into two. Let's just read the words of the Mitzudos one more time, then we'll see the Rashi. Rashi, one more time, he says, called Dishnei Eretz. Number Chiddush number one of the Mitzudos David, we're dealing here with Kol Malchei Ho Adam. Okay, that puts us into category number three. We add here the Afse Oretz. We add the Mishbuchos Goyim. And now we have a new category, the Dishnei Eretz. And what does it mean, Ochelu? They have eaten. Ka'asher Yoichlu Mo. They eat something which is an expression which means they receive benefit. Ritzon Eloimar. Whenever the Mitzudos David says Ritzon Eloimar, fasten your seatbelt, he's going to inject commentary that does not appear anywhere in the Pasuk. It's all his understanding. You have the Mesorah of what this means. Ritzon Eloimar. Ka'asher Yavo Lohem Toivo. When the Malchei Haaretz, the nations of the world, the kings, which I'm assuming means the sophisticated nations of the world, America, okay, all the nations, the United Nations. These are nations. They have a GDP. They have wealth. They have bracha. There are people in these countries that have success. When they have success, yishtachavu laHashem, they will humble themselves before Hashem. Ki yakiru, they'll recognize shehakol b'miyada. Period. And now we come to a new expression. Yichru'u kol yordei ofar. Kol b'nei adam hame'utadim loredes ba'afar hakeder. The people who are, I'm assuming, are wicked and are slated for death, it's a different category. They will not recognize. See, he learns the Mitzvot David, he learns Vayishtachavu is an expression of hoidah, of thanksgiving, of humility before Hashem. The next expression, yichru, is there, that's not voluntary. This is being forced upon them. They're being crushed. They're dying. They're descending into the grave. And these people who are seemingly not acknowledging the blessing, v'nafshoi, aval Hashem lo yichayeh, af nefesh achas mehem, because this group of people, the yirdei afar, who are describing the Mitzudos as Hame'utadim, slated for death, it appears they have no recognition of Hashem, and therefore there's nothing going to come from them. They're going to die and they're going to cease to exist. Let's see Rashi now.
Isn't there different levels? Yichru, you bend, which means you're bending because of whatever reason.
That's what I said.
And then the Yishtachavu is you're bowing. You're now giving over and you're recognizing, and then umodim, you are actually
so
saying
that. That's what I started with, is that these type of words, and this, at least according to the Mitzudas and some other Mefarshim on the page, the definition of the words are defined by the context. When we read these words in Oleinu, it appears to be a gradual process.
But it's a gradual process of us, of ourselves.
Correct.
First, we're bending over because we're bending over because
that's
you get hit over the head. You bend over, and you then you
further.
Now I'm bowing to Hashem.
You first bend your body, then you bend your knees, then you lie down on the floor. Kita. There are different levels, and there's a process of humbling
yourself. Right.
But that
Yichru is not humbling yet.
So these words are all defined based on the context in where they appear. So when you have something like Aleinu, the words in Aleinu, in that context, it's a beautiful expression. There are many different stages of humility. It's a process. But at least the way some of the Mefarshim here, which I'm trying to, the Mitzvah is not so clear here. He's not, if you notice, the Mitzvah stuff is not as clear in Tehillim as it was in some of the other Sifon that we learned. In many other Sifon that we learned, the Mitzvah stuff was much more crystal clear. In Tehillim, he's much more vague. I wonder when he wrote this. I wonder if there's any study on exactly when he wrote Tehillim. Each of his Sfarim is a little bit different. But the other Mefarshim, we'll see Rashi in a moment, you get the impression that that's not the way we're using the word. It's not a process. There's a word, there are different groups of people, different societies that will exist, b'ikvus of the Mashiach. There are some societies of the Goyim that are more sophisticated. They have a greater acknowledgement of Hashem. That group we're calling Hishtachava. And that Hishtachava has a positive connotation. Then there's another group of people that are going to be around because of the Mashiach, which are wicked. They're wicked. And these people, when it says Yichru, there's nothing good about it. And not only there's nothing, it's not even happening voluntarily. Hashem is just eliminating them. And the poetic word that we're using to eliminate them is yichud. They're going to go into the grave and they're not going to come up. They have nothing. The word, more often than not, a word in Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, is abstract. And its definition depends on its context. We're not used to that. We're used to English, other languages. You have a dictionary. You open the dictionary and it tells you, this is the word, this is the way it's used, and that's it. And don't play games. Don't be creative. Lashon HaKodesh, it's not like that. Every single Shoresh is an abstract concept. And what it means purely depends on its context. You can't hold the word just because you have the word in another pasuk, another parak, another sefer. Very nice. That's what it means over there. Over here, it means something entirely different. At least according to some commentators. I mean, obviously, yeah, there's no limit to how many mafarshim you're going to find. Let's see Rashi. Rashi has a little different spin on this. Rashi, pasuk lamed.
Ochlu.
Oh, lo yichra. There means something entirely different. There first comes the word yichra, and then comes hishtachava. Here it says hishtachava first, and it says yichra. It depends on the context. Okay, let's see what it's over here in the Rashi. Rashi, ochlu vayishtachavu kol dishnei eretz. Hareza mikra misaros. So Rashi right away says, do not even attempt to read the words in order. The first thing you have to know is you have to read the words out of order. Change the order. So we start ochlu anovim kol dishnei haaretz. So first of all, we're now referring over here, the word dishnei haaretz is differing with the mitzudos. It is not a noun or an adjective. It's not, according to the mitzudos, dishnei haaretz is a code word for the kings of the world. The kings of the world are the ones who benefit the best that the world has to offer. No. We're not discussing here, according to Rashi, the malchei haaretz. We are discussing the tzaddikim, the anovim, the humble people. That is the subject. And the word dishnei haaretz is a noun. It's describing the blessing that this world has to offer. Ochlu, we're missing a word in the pasuk. Ochlu anovim. Let the humble, good, wholesome people in the end of days, may they will eat. They will eat the best that the world has to offer. They will eat the dishnei eretz. And then what will they do? Now go backwards to the word before. Vayishtachavu laHashem. And they will praise Hashem. Behalel v'hoidah al hatoiva. And he explains. Dishnei Eretz, Tov, is the best. Chelev Haaretz, the fat of the earth. Kol Zed, and when that happens, what's going to be? When that happens, according to Rashi, you have to really reorganize all of the psukim on the page. This all going back to V'yashuvu. It's V'yashuvu. And then the Goyim are going to see this. They will see this, called the Yiru Ifse Oretz V'yashuvu El Hashem. So let's review what's happening here in this pasuk.
Okay, so who is the subject? That's the problem.
Who is the subject? So according to Rashi, the subject, they are the Anovim. And it's now Yimos HaMashiach. What? Let's assume so. Maybe they're part of it. Maybe they're part of the team. Obviously, the 99.9% are the Tzadikim, are the Jews. The Jews who are the Anovim. Maybe you want to throw in some goyim also. Fine. They will then reap the best, the blessing of this world. And Hashem will arrange that to occur. When this happens, when it's ochlu, the anovim, call, we're eating a word, called dishnei eretz. First of all, what will the humble people do when they benefit this incredible blessing? They will express to Hashem, shevach v'hoidah. Vayishtachavu. Who's going to observe this? The whole world's going to be watching. Who is the whole world? The world includes the Afsei Eretz and the Mishpachos Goyim. There are no kings here. Everyone, all of the Goyim at the end of days, according to Rashi, are going to be reduced to just individuals scattered through the world or clans. And they are going to observe the Anovim, which refers to Klal Yisrael and maybe some Hasidi Umos Olam. They're going to observe them benefit from the brach of this world, and they're going to observe them give praise to the Creator. And these people who are called the Afsi Eretz and the Mishpachos Goyim, they're going to witness this, and they're going to be inspired. And they're going to do teshuvah v'yeshuvu el Hashem, they will repent. And this will all occur simultaneously with when Hashem, when they're witnessing these people restore to Hashem. Ki l'Hashem hamalucho moshel ba'agoyim. Now, how do you read the other words in this pasuk? The next words in the pasuk, lefonov yichru'u oz kol meisehu umois mitoich gehenim. So Rashi is waxing homiletic here. Here we're referring over here to the dead. And when this happens, the dead who are in Gehenim, they're going to humble themselves in Gehenim. V'lo yirachem aleihem l'chayos es nafsham mi gehinoim. When this all happens, the people, the yordei ofar in Gehenim, they're going to bow. See, we don't know what goes on in Gehenna. No one came back to tell us. There are activities. They have activities in Gehenna. There are shiurim. There's something going on over there. We have mom. See, this is all a great mystery to us. But just like there are activities in Gan Eden, who knows what goes on there? Whatever goes on there, there are activities taking place in Gehenna. And when the people in Gehenna witness, they get word, and they become aware of what is taking place on this world, that Klal Yisrael, the Anavim, are benefiting from the blessing of this world, and the Goyim, everyone else, is watching, and is inspired, and is being Choyzer B'Shuvah. Those that are in Gehenim are suffering even more from this. They are hitting themselves. Why, when we were alive, didn't we also observe this success of Klal Yisrael, even though it was hidden, and do teshuva? Why do we cause them so much suffering? And in Gehenim, they bow. They humble themselves in Gehenim. But yet it says something extremely frightening. So you would think Hashem would have rachmanis on them in Gehenim. If in Gehenim they're seeing, they're having charata, that they should have done teshuva when they were in this world, like Hashem would have rachmanis, so Hashem should have redeemed them in Gehenim. No, Hashem says too little, too late. Okay, that's a hara. I'm not making this up. This is what it says here in Rashi. This is what Rashi says. Lifonav yichu oz. When this occurs in this world, achris hayamim, the anavim anene, and they say hallel to Hashem, and the world is inspired, and they do teshuva. Those Rishab that are in Gehenim, they see what's going on, and they're humbled. They're humbled. Yichru'u. But it's too late. V'nafsho lo chiyo. Too little, too late. Scary stuff. Oz kol meisehu umos mitoch gehinom lo yirachim aleim l'chayos es nafsho migenim. V'nafshoi. This is the collective noun. Okay, his neshama. Shall call echod v'echod. Not really a collective noun. It means each individual person in Gehenna. Lo chiyo, lo yichaye. Too little, too late. See, we live in America. We always live in the city. One of the great dangers of America is there's no din v'cheshven. America is unbelievable. There never was a time in the world like you have today where you can be whatever you want to be. Freedom. It's unbelievable what it means, freedom. No such thing in the world history. Freedom. What's freedom? Who ever heard of freedom? No such thing as freedom. There's a totalitarian government. That's the way the world was from day one. Democracy is an experiment. Oh, it's only 200 plus years, democracy. And we see how dangerous it can be. Democracy invites crazy people to do crazy things. It's democracy, you know. Maybe our ancestors were not so stupid after all. Maybe they realized democracy it's been wonderful. I mean, for Klal Yisrael, by and large. But who knows what the future is going to bring? You see, today there are things that are very frightening. Democracy invites. It invites. Too much freedom can be very dangerous.
Right. Yeah.
It's an experiment, and Hashem Yirachem, the bracha should continue. But part of the problem of freedom is a weakness of less din v'less dayin. You can get away with anything. Yeah, so you know, just don't get caught. Don't get caught.
If you're caught, you just say, I'm sorry.
Exactly. You get caught, you say you're sorry, and all is forgiven. So there's a lot of truth to that in Judaism. There's a lot of truth.
Sorry. You say you misunderstood what I meant.
No, you say you're sorry. No, you're sorry.
For what
you got
I did,
caught.
Misremembered.
You got to hand it to the current administration. The way they know how to spin lies is just it's really talent. Like you should go on one of these television shows, right? Talent, how you can spin something. It's just mind-boggling, the talent how you can spin something. But in any event. In any event, that's a very big problem because Chazal over and over again they say, "Kol ha'oimer hakadosh baruch hu vatron yivatru chayov." Anyone that says, "Yeah, you know, you do an avera and don't worry, you know, you'll do teshuva," Yom Kippur comes around, this comes around, you'll clap al chait. So right now, this time of the year, we do avera. So when it comes Yom Kippur, so then we make believe we do teshuva and all is forgiven. A person says that, he's in a lot of trouble. There is a din v'cheshbon. A din v'cheshbon. There's teshuva. Don't make any mistake about it. There's teshuva. But in America, unfortunately, on the scale, the balance scale, there's too much of an emphasis of teshuva and too little emphasis of din v'cheshbon. You are responsible for everything that you do. There is a din v'cheshbon for every little thing that happens, that a person, every decision a person makes. And
that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, one of his Pesach Shiurim was, the more you exercise self-control is the greater freedom you have. You're not a slave to your desires.
I mean, that was the message for 3 hours. Ein lecha ben choyrin ele mi she'osek b'Torah. This pasuk is a polite reminder that this din v'cheshbon. The people in Gehenna, they're trying their best to do teshuva. That's what it says. Yichru. They're going to humble themselves. But yet the pasuk says, v'nafsho lo yichya. Too late. Scary.
It depends on what the purpose of Gehenna is.
Okay.
Is it punishment or is it rehabilitation?
Rehabilitation, yeah, okay. Okay, so right, you're right. There are different hours, there are different times of Gehenna. There are different types of Gehenna. Now, then Rashi, okay, we're done. So this is the Pshat. This is how Rashi, very deep, Halum Shan, this Pasuk, very powerful stuff. And now Rashi throws in the Medrash. What is the Medrash? Rabbi Seinu Darshu. Min HaMikra HaZeh, this is a very powerful concept. This explains why there's a very big inyan to be present at a Yitzias Neshama. Today you find certain people, when it's possible, it's not so easy to do. But when a person is B'Shas Yitzias Neshama, there's an inyan to be present. So it's one of the holiest moments in this world to be present at the time of a person's Yitzias Neshama. Why? That moment there is a living person in front of you that is seeing Hashem. Whether we don't know what this means. And today, due to modern medicine, it's the experience is completely different because modern medicine has made it such that most people, when they die, they're already totally not conscious. They're already not here. Medicine already has totally shut down their consciousness, which means that what they're experiencing is in their subconscious. But you hear, going back years ago, before, you know, the bracha of all these types of medication which takes away the pain, is where people, when they died, they were wide awake. And they said all these bizarre, strange things, and they were actually seeing things, and then they died. They died awake. And when they die awake, there's a chazal, you have to have a munah. We don't know what this means. We have a munah. Rabbi Seinu Darshu, min ha-mikra hazeh, she-ha-meisim lifnei nisasam, those that are about to die, before they die, when they're still alive, b'shas netilas neshama, roi'in p'nei hashchina. They're witnessing the Shekhinah. They're mamish seeing Hashem. So do you know what it means to be in the room? You're in the room with a person that sees Hashem. He's roya p'nei Hashchina. A person who leaves this world is with is seeing Hashem. It's a very holy moment. And that's why there's an Indian, there should be 10 people when possible. Today is probably impossible because of all of the restrictions, because of Rahman al-Islam of this Magefa. But there is such a principle of having a minyan b'shas yitzias neshama, because the person that is leaving, you know, when we have a minyan, v'nikdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael, when there is Shekhinah is present, l'chvoid ha-Shekhinah, in honor of the Shekhinah, there should be a minyan. It's not a kovedik that HaKadosh Baruch should come to this world, there should be Shekhinah, and there should be no one present. L'chvoid ha-Shekhinah, you have a minyan. 10 people. The B'shas Yitzias Neshama, once the Shekhinah is there, it could affect the person's own Neshama. It could awaken a person, it could stir within your own Neshama a whole new Mahalich in life. Okay, it's not just for the benefit of the person that's leaving. You want to escort his Neshama when he leaves. When the person leaves, you obviously, there's an inyan, you're giving that Neshama comfort by being there to escort it to the Olam HaEmes. There is also giving honor to the Shekhinah that is present, that is coming to take this neshama. And there's also obviously tremendous benefit. The person himself that's present can be transformed by this experience. I remember hearing, I suppose many times, I heard one on the radio many, many years ago on one of the most left-wing radio stations in the world, the NPR. I don't know how more left you can get. Lehrer. Yeah. Is he still on the radio? Lehrer?
Lehrer, yeah.
What's his first name?
I think they canned him.
What's his first name? John?
No.
Whatever his name was. So he was fantastic. Even though he was a real lefty, he was liberal like you can't even imagine. But he's interviewed these very interesting people, and he interviewed a person that was phenomenally wealthy, extremely successful. One day he says, what is all about? All this money and success, life has no meaning. So he became an undertaker. Not joking. And like a priest, he specialized in death. And he said, other than the last year, he did how many funerals? About like 50 funerals, maybe even more, in the last period of time. And he never felt so fulfilled, so satisfied in helping families, you know, go through this experience of someone dying. A person dies, he's with the family, and then, you know, the funeral, the burial, the whole thing. And he was describing in words of how, you know, these people, they suffer very much. They don't know, they have no meaning. It's very frightening. What is death? You know, he's done with Goyim. And he helps them. He gives them some religious perspective. And everything he said is emes. This guy's a total guy. Probably sounded like he was a Christian. But the Musar Haskell in that interview was just mind-boggling. And it shook me up. Ad Hayayim Hazeh. And over here, the Chazal, you know, all of this is in Chazal. Chazal, ahead of the game. Min HaMikra Hazeh Shehan Nesim Lefnei Misasam B'Shas Nitilas Neshama Royin Pnei Hashchinish. Never underestimate what these words mean. A neshama that leaves this world, as he leaves, he's seeing the Shekhinah. And I told you, today, Baruch Hashem, modern medicine, puts a person out, usually at this matziv, they're under heavy dosages of morphine.
Induced coma,
morphine, they enormous amount of medication, and they know, which is a bracha, I'm assuming, because they don't feel pain. A lot of these situations is incredible, incredible pain.
Brian.
What?
Brian Lehrer.
So they stay, so we don't get to see the reaction in a conscious state of them being roya pnei hashchina. But every so often you go to a base ovel, they'll tell you that the person who died was awake, even like a Zachary Wallerstein. It's a very bizarre, I don't know for all the details, but it sounds like it was a very surreal experience of how he died. Now he died and they made a couple of phone calls. There were some people with him, and they called up Gedolei Yisrael, and he was talking to them, and he was saying things. It was a surreal experience. This is what it says. And this is for every person. You don't have to be the Gadol HaDor to experience this. When I know Rav Chaim Kanievsky, so he passed away, mamash, I don't know, suddenly, but it was like he was the last couple of days he was just basically asleep. He wasn't awake, and then it was all quiet. He just his heart stopped, and that was the end. And they called the doctor, and the doctor said, it's a very funny thing what the doctor says. Wow, he didn't suffer. He misas neshika. There was no suffering. He just quietly, very, because unfortunately, people that deal with this, there's no such thing as not suffering. No such thing as this. It's a horrible, horrible, anyone who saw this, even, it's a very, very disturbing type of thing. And there is something very holy about this. And this comes from over here, what it says in the Pasuk, V'nafsho lochi. Now how do you read into the Pasuk? You read into the Pasuk over here is, how he says these words. So, I mean, where do you get this parish in the Pasuk? Rabbi Sey Nudarshu, Menamik Rabbi Shah, Shameis Lofnei, Mises Meshas, Nitlis, Neshama, Roin Pnei Ashchina. They see the Shechina, because it says here, Yichru kol yardei ofar. They bow. This is Rav Dov. This is what you were trying to say. They see the Shechina. This last pasuk is taken out of context, and it refers to the moment when a person leaves the world. He sees Hashem, and when he sees Hashem, the Shechina, he bows. And when he bows, the nafsho lochia, he dies. Ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. There is no such thing in this world as seeing Hashem and living. That's why the Maisa with the Nazir with Chana, or Shmuel, Nazir Lekimyeh Elkanah. Shimshon's parents. They saw the Malach. There's no Ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. This pasuk is being taken out of context. The person over here is witnessing, he's seeing the Shechina. And what happens when he sees the Shechina? He humbles himself. Or he humbles himself before the Shechina. The ultimate humility, the ultimate hachna. And he's on the way, kol yordei, he's on his way to die. He sees Hashem. And then when he sees v'nafshoi, lo chia. Now here it's a drush in the past tense. Or he will not live. In the future tense, because now that he sees the Shechina, ki lo yirani hadam v'chai, that automatically forces him to leave this world. Obviously, the next pasuk, the last pasuk, the two more pasukim, zerai avdenu. Now let's continue. This pasuk, according to each interpretation, the seed, the person leaves the world. Well, it all depends how we learn this pasuk. Zerai yav, we'll read them as far as before I put my foot in my mouth. Zera Yavdenu Yisupar La Hashem Lador. Now what is this? What's in the Mitsudah is the Pasuk Lamid Aleph. Lamna Zera Yavdenu Rak Zera Yisrael Asher Avoduhu Me Oilom Oisom Yechayevehem Yisabu Maaseh Hashem Lador Sha'achareyem. So Rashi Lishita Soy. Not Rashi, Mitsudah is Lishita Soy. The Mitsudah is learned that all of these psukim are describing Acharis Hayamim. The Mitsudos Lashita So says there are three categories, or really four categories, should I say. There are four categories. We start off with the Afsei Oretz, and then we start off with the Mishpachos Goyim, and then we mention the Dishnei Eretz, and then we mention Stam, no name, anonymous, called Yordei, well, I'm not going to call them anonymous, called Yordei Ofa. Okay, there are four categories. And now we come to category number five. Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is called the Zera Yavdenu, the Jewish people. The seed the seed of Avram. Look at the Targum, the entire word Zerah as Zarei, the seed, the Avraham of Klal Yisrael, Yifluchun, they are going to live on in this world. And they're going to relate to their future generations the miracles of Hashem and the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So according to Rashi, Rashi learns there are five categories. There is the Afsei Oretz, there is the Mishpachos Goyim, there are the Dishnei Eretz, that's the kingdoms of the world, which are good, who are good, who are in a matzav, in a state of Hishtachava, of bowing before Hashem. Then there is the category number four, the Yordei Ofar, the wicked, who are not going to be resurrected, the wicked nations of the world. And then we come to a category to its own, Klal Yisrael, who are called here the Zera Ya'avdenu, the seed of the Avos who have served Hashem. They will merit eternal life, Yisupar, they will relate, they will speak, they will give over Hashem's praise, La Hashem, about the miracles that Hashem, the Chasen of Hashem, to the next generation. La Hashem over here means regarding Hashem, the Lamed. Look at the moment of the Mesuzah David. Zeri Avdenu, Rak, Zera Yisrael Hashem Avadu, May Olam who have served Hashem from time immemorial, Oysom, Yichay Hashem will bring them back to life. It will be Tchias HaMesim, Vehein, Yisapru, Maaseh Hashem. So when it says La Hashem, it means they will Yisupar, they will relate the miracles of Hashem, La Hashem of Hashem, Lador. And what does Lador mean? La Hador Sha'acharehem, to the next generation. The new world order. The new world religious order. Lamed Bey's last pasuk. Yavohu v'yagidu tzidkaso is the continuation. They will come, they will enter, and they will relate tzidkaso, Hashem's righteousness, la'am no'ilo, to the next generation, ki osa, what Hashem has done. It's Pasuk Lamed Beis is almost a repetition of Pasuk Lamed Aleph. It's poetic repetition. Let's see the Mitzudos. Yovohu, heim, yovohu, v'yagidu tzidkaso la'am hanolad acharehem ki osa asher osa imam, what Hashem has done with them. It's poetic repetition. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, these two psukim, Lamed Aleph, Zera Ya'avdenu, Zera Yisrael asher tamid oivdim oso, same thing, Yisupar la'Hashem lador. So again, Rashi over here is coming to tell us over here, Rashi Lishita. So Rashi has a whole different mahalach over here, as we said. He's going to tell us, do not read the words in order. Switch around the words. Sarei Sameka Vidar Sheyu. So we have to start with the word Yisupar. Yisupar Lidor Acharoin. L'shem Hashem u'l'shabachoy. They will relate the praises of Hashem to the future generation. Asher osa, what Hashem has done, le'oisoi zera. Okay, so zera yavdenu comes at the end. The next generation, or the generation that survives, will relate to the future generation the miracles of what Hashem has done to the Zera that has served Hashem. It's very similar to what the Mitzudas David says, but there's a little bit more precision. The Mitzudas just says that the Zera, I shouldn't say, it's not. I take it back, it's not the same. According to the Mitzudas, the word Zera Yavedenu is a subject. The seed of those who have served Hashem, which means the people living right now. It is a category of people. Klal Yisrael. We've had four of the categories, and now we are presenting category number five. This category, what will they do? They will relate to the next generation Hashem's miracles. Rashi's a little bit different. Rashi says the category is understood. We do not need a placeholder to describe the category. It is self-understood that there is a category of Klal Yisrael, and this category will relate to the next generation, Yisupar LaHashem LaDor. What? Backwards. What Hashem has done to their ancestors, to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and all the children, to the Zeri Avdenu. So Zeri Avdenu is not the subject. It is the conversation. It is what Klal Yisrael will tell over to the next generation concerning the miracles that Hashem has done to the Zera that has served him. Okay, it's similar, but yet a little bit different. Okay, that concludes Rashi. The other Mefarsh, the Radak, we don't have time. I said I wanted to spend a few minutes. Okay, even though the Radak has a little bit, it's a very nice Radak on the top page, on page 207, on the top. But I'd rather now jump down and talk about the Notzrim. Okay, so this is very interesting what he says over here. Well, you know, it's a shame because there's some really great abortion gemaras over here. Maybe we'll come back to it tomorrow. Mama, she would never imagine dealing with abortion. Okay, it's incredible. All the Rabbanim, I'm so old, the Rabbanim in America are going to be giving sermons about Roe versus Wade, okay, about abortion. What is halacha? Jewish law says about halacha. And there's some fascinating midrashim that are mamish plucked out of these psukim over here, mamish about the value of one of the main things, just is about a woman who is a sota. A woman that is mizane, her husband takes her to the Beis HaMikdash and gives her to drink from the Mayim HaMa'orim. So the Chazal say that, let's say the woman is really guilty. So the Mayim HaMa'orim should immediately cause her to die.
Right.
The Ramban says this is one of the open miracles in the Torah. Torah guarantees that the woman indeed has committed adultery. When she drinks the Mayim HaMa'orim, she will instantly die. She will die.
If she confesses, then she will not die.
If she confesses, then she just means she has to get divorced. She's also to her husband. She's also to the one that she had an affair with. And then she can do teshuva and she can go on. But let's say she refuses to confess and her husband takes her to the Beis HaMikdash and they give her to drink this water and she really is guilty. Then it says that her stomach will explode and she will die. Along comes the Gemara, and the Gemara is something astonishing. The Gemara, let's say she's already pregnant. She committed adultery. And through the act of adultery, she got pregnant. But no one knows, because it's too early in the pregnancy to recognize. So according to one opinion, the Gemara says, Hashem will have Rachmanis and the child inside and will delay the effects of the poison for 9 months.
Until
the mamzer is born, you're right. Exactly, until the mamzer is born. Why? Because the mamzer is going to be as a yesupa. Because the mamzer that will come into this world is called Zera Yavdenu Yesupa. These three words. Because the mamzer is also a person. And the mamzer has a place in this world to sing Hashem's praises. The mamzer in the mother's womb will sing Hashem's praises. The mamzer is not allowed to marry, you know, a regular person in Klal Yisrael. But even a mamzer,
he walks before a kohen gadol with an amar.
Exactly, will sing, is destined to sing Hashem's praises. So therefore, Hashem will delay. He will delay the effects of the mayim hamorim that would ordinarily cause the woman to die in the zuchus of the fetus who's just been conceived in 40 days. It's maya ba'alma. Everyone holds you have an abortion before 40 days. That's in halacha, it's nothing. Before, even that, Hashem will wait, because there's something going on here, this potential for a human being to sing Hashem's praises. Now, you can't bring a raya from Divrei Agada, okay? You can't bring a raya, you know, Divrei Agada, Divrei Halacha. But it's quite a statement. It's quite a statement of how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu values what's inside of the Tugulei Man Chazal. Maybe we'll have to do tomorrow the notary stuff. Let's look over here. Let's look a little raya. We might as well learn this over here. Look over here. What is over here? Pasuk Lamed Aleph. It's in Yonei D'Yoyma. In Yonei D'Yoyma. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Zera Yavdenu, Yisuv LaHashem Ladon, page 206. We're taking these words out of context in the Maimon Chazal. Tanya, Im Yesh Lo L'Soita Zuchus. Really, the Soita is guilty as sin. She committed adultery. The Maimon Chazal, Likud Ishas. Likud and the very bottom. Very bottom. Tanya, Im Yesh Lo L'Soita Zuchus. She drank the Mayim HaMe'orim. And the MS is, she did commit adultery. And according to the Torah, the water should cause her to die. She has a merit. The merit, if she has a merit, she's not going to die so fast. How long? Shloisha chodoshim. 3 months. Why 3 months? Shu shiur shel kidei hakaras ha'ubar. Divrei Abba Yosei ben Chana. Now, according to that interpretation, it means that the baby's going to still die. Mm-hmm. But, okay, I don't know what this means. We have to go to the Gemara. The Gemara is making a joke because the Gemara is comparing her death to the Nikisa, the Nizra, of Zera. The Gemara is making a drasha. There are two options. If she is guilty, she dies. If she is innocent, not only does she live, she is blessed. She is innocent and she went through this humiliating process. V'nikisa, she is innocent and she will conceive. And Chazal Darsh, and if until now she had a labor that was with pain, with tsar, now she'll have an easy birth. If her children were not healthy, she'll have the healthy children. So the Gemara compares the death to life, to conception. So the Gemara is making a drasha that the death is not necessarily going to happen instantly. She'll live 3 more months. Why? But living 3 more months does not mean that the baby is going to survive. The baby is going to still die with her. The baby is going to die. That's the first interpretation. That's according to Abba Yosef ben Chanan, Rabbi Elazar bar ben Yitzchak Ishkafar Dorim Oimer Tisha Chodoshim. No. If she has the merit, she's going to live for 9 months. What is the advantage of her living 9 months before she dies? The baby will come out. The baby will survive. Why do we want the baby to survive? It's a manzer. It's a manzer. Who needs manzerim? It's not a good thing to have manzerim in Klal Yisrael. What do you want the manzer for? Shenemar, v'nikasa, that we first make the drasha, v'nikasa, v'nizra, zera, we're makish. The next word, she'll die or she'll live. She'll become pregnant. V'la'alanu oimer, so just because she'll become pregnant, who cares? So why does that mean 9 months? Zera, Yavdenu, we take and make a gzera shava. V'nizra'o zora. And it says in this pasuk, zera. Zera and zora. These two words go together. Zera, Yavdenu yisupar. Zera horohui lisaper. See, that's fitting to relate the praises of Hashem. The editor adds in, sheroi lichyois vilavoi lidei sipur. I don't think the people that are protesting at the homes of the justices, the Supreme Court, and the administration of the White House, who encourages these violent protests, not such a violent,
not violent.
Okay, not violent. There's no such thing as there's no such thing as a protest that's not violent. Okay, and those who encourage, I don't think they opened up this Tehillim article to Hillel and look at what it said over here of the value that the Chazal have given even to a mamzer. Shocking thing, because you'll tell them mamzer, Ashkelon, you know the mamzer are no good. It's a big problem, Klal Yisrael. But you know, this is what it says here. It says over here is that according to this Ma'amar Chazal is Lazera Adrasha. She has a schus 9 months. 9 months the baby's gonna come out. And we make this drasha, and we connect to this pasuk, and this pasuk says that the seed of this fetus inside, that is a fetus, is destined, is roy to come out in Yisupar, and to sing, to give shevach v'hoidah to our Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Meanwhile, she goes back to the husband?
No. Meanwhile, l'chara she does. L'chara she does go back. L'chara she does go back.
Right, so then you can't say...
Or you want to say, I don't know, you have to look at the Gemara.
You can't say the kid's a mamzer.
No, the kid is a mamzer.
Yeah, but he's born from the husband.
So you want to say he's born from the husband? Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. The kid's not a mamzer.
What's the rationale for saying 3 months?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make sense, right? But this way, maybe it's to let us know who the father is, because if he suspects his wife, maybe he stopped having relations with her.
All depends on the situation. It could be that he had relations with her the day
pregnant,
before.
He knows it wasn't him.
But it could be the day before. It could be that he had it.
No, I understand. I'm just speculating.
But it could be he was with her the day before. So you don't really know.
Yeah, but you had to give her a Zora and tell her.
Yeah,
but
if it happened 1, 2, 3. You can do the whole thing 1, 2, 3 in one day.
It could happen.
You can do the whole thing in 1, 2, 3.
It could, but it could not.
Okay, you're right. I don't know.
There's another Gemara that says that a mamzer doesn't survive.
Also, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem brings a magay from this world to wipe out mamzerim. You're right. How do you reconcile all these Amar Chazal? I don't know. I don't know. But you cannot ignore. This is a powerful statement. Okay. I don't know. I didn't really read up all the literature on all of this. And also, when I really shouldn't speak because I didn't read anything on this. Of course, it's a given that we're not dealing with a situation where a child is a roided. Okay, you have a medical condition where a child endangers the life of the mother. You know, that's a whole different story. Okay, we're not discussing that. We're doing something where the mother is pregnant with a healthy child. Mm-hmm. You want to tell me that this mental anguish that she has to raise a child?
Yeah,
I don't want to go there either. Let's not go there either. Okay, I don't read the whole. Let's discuss where a woman is pregnant with a healthy child. And she'll get over it. There are so many people out in this country that are chalishing to adopt children. How do you know this? Because I know of people. They went. They paid a fortune of money, even illegally, to go buy children from other countries. So obviously, there's a very great shortage of people that are very willing to raise the child. So the girls say you can't raise. I don't. So Nu, what does it all come down to? What does it all come down to then? If there's no issue of physical health to the mother, there's no issue of mental anguish, and there's no issue of raising the child. So the issue is, and the responsibility just to have a child, you know, not to prevent, just to go and be Isaac and Yonim and not protect yourself from becoming pregnant. I mean that's irresponsibility. You get pregnant, you know. So what's the issue then? I just don't want the child.
Right.
What about its life? So I suspect, I don't know, it's just a lack of acknowledgement that there's a God. It comes down to religion. Do you believe in God or do you not believe in God? If you believe in God, you value life. If you value life, there is a life inside of you. A life inside of you, if you're not at risk, not physically, not mentally, and not worried about paying tuition, so what's it to you to let the life live? What's it to you? Life isn't worth anything. There is no life. Here, this Chazal says it explicitly. It's all about life. That what is the value of the child? It's the child is Yisupar Zera Yaavdenu Yisupar. We take the three words together according to the Chazal. This Zera that's inside the womb will serve Hashem by relating, giving over his Shevach. It's all about Hashem. The whole thing is all about the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you don't want that there should be in this world another creature that will sing Hashem's praises, in a chanam, who cares? Get rid of it. But if you are concerned about snuffing out the possibility of a being, of giving over the shevach of Hashem, how could you do such a thing? Chazal are telling you, in this little chazal, in these little letters on the bottom of the page, is giving you an insight into what is the issue? What exactly is the point of debate? You don't really get a hold on it. What are these people protesting? What is it to them? What are they so? Yeah, anyway, can go do it. Okay, someone say, so you don't want to go do it in your state? Well, your company, you work for a good company, they'll pay the money for you to go to another state to get it done. What do you care? What's this? What
it's
is
religion? That's why.
Oh, there's something much greater. Even if every state will make their own decision, you want to, but in America, you can do whatever you want. One way or another, you can do whatever you want. You want an abortion, you'll get an abortion. Just cross the state line, there'll be grants and scholarships. Funny word. To get the an abortion.
Norman Panharitz wrote about the Torah of liberalism. And this is one of the highest commandments, maybe the first commandment, thou shalt abort.
Thou shalt abort. What is so, talk to them. Nu, what's the problem? What does it bother you so much? Chazal told us what bothers them. What bothers them is that there should not be another creature that is Yisupar, that speaks of Hashem's praises. It's all about God. It's a Melchemes Hashem. That's what Chazal say. They don't want to say it, but that's what Chazal are telling us what's going on in their mind. Now on the other page, go back in the previous page, page 205, there's another Chazal. On page Shufasa Glamin. Lefonov Yichru Kol Yordei Ofar. Dorash Rebbe Simlai. Lemo Havlad Doime B'me'e Imoi. What is a child similar to in the mother, the womb of a mother? Lepidkas, shemekubal umunach. The eina yoytzem yisham ad shemashbiin oisoy shenemar ki li tichra kol berch tishava kol loshon. Ki li tichra kol berch yoy mamisa shenemar lefonav yichu kol yoy de ofar. Tishava kol loshon ze yoy mahaleida. What's going on in the mother's womb? According to Chazal, you know what's going on in the mother's womb? There's a malach. We're not talking about teaching Torah. No, no, no. Not everyone, not every guy is learning Gan Shas, called Torah Kula, in the mother's womb. That's only for Klal Yisrael. What is the... A guy doesn't learn Torah.
Wait, who are you talking about in the mother's womb?
Anyone. Humanity. Oh. Humanity. There's a baby in the mother's womb. What's going on in there? What is going on in the womb of a non-Jew? I don't know. But what did Chazal say is going on in there, in the spiritual world? So we all tell, when there's a baby in the mother's womb, the Malach is teaching you Kol HaTorah Kula. Before it goes out, it touches you over here. Shalom Zohar. These are all very Kabbalistic things. We have Emunah. Fine, I'm not going there. But what about a guy? What goes on in the womb of a guy? I don't know. But Chazal here is saying something. There's something going on. There's a Malach there for 9 months. Saying to the child, it's a very long process. The baby doesn't get it so quickly. And is administering a shavua. That's what's going on in the mother's womb. There's a malach in the mother's womb that is speaking to the child and is saying, the einoy yoytze misham ad shem mashbi'in oisoy. They make him swear to serve Hashem, to be an Eved Hashem, to be a believer. There are Zionism, they know Yach, just basic emuna. Be a tzaddik. A guy also is the same little difference. There's a malach in the womb administering a shavuas Hashem, to be an eved Hashem. That's what the guy can't take. Abort, thou shalt abort.
What is being the pinkish shemikufo emuna?
I don't know, it's a notebook. A notebook. There's a ledger.
That's folded over.
So what does that mean? It's folded over.
It's in the fetal position.
Fetal position, but it's called. You call it a pincus. There's something.
It's a blank slate.
There's some a blank slate. Yeah, maybe that's a blank slate. All of your entire life, whatever you're going to accomplish or fail, is going to be written down in this ledger. That's what you are. You're blank. You're a note. You're a blank. They're giving you a new notebook. It's like a child goes to kindergarten. You buy him a notebook for 99 cents. Empty notebook. Your little binder. At the end of the year. At the end of the year, what did you write in this notebook? When your life is over, he was giving you a clean notebook. When you come back, you return after 120 years. Let's see what you wrote in this notebook. Let's see what you put in this notebook. And what do they do when they prepare this notebook? For 9 months? They administer a shavuas Hashem, an oath. Child, neshama, take a shavua. You have a mission to serve Hashem. Every guy is the tzelem elokim. What's this mishagas? They can't live with abortion. You have to have those shalt abort. What do you care so much? You cannot live with the fact that in the womb of a human being is a malach administering a shavuas Hashem. It's all about religion. It's all about the Ribbono Shel Olam. Cannot two Maamari Chazal telling us in the spiritual world what's really going on in the Rechem. And every person deep, deep down knows this. And for a religious person, Baruch Hashem, there's another being that's getting that shavuas Hashem. A pregnant woman walks in to a room. Stand up. What are you standing up for?
Give her a seat.
Excellent. What are you standing up for? In that rechem, there's a malach elokim administering a shavuas Hashem. Be a tzaddik. In her rechem, there's a zera, a potential yisupar that's going to sing Hashem's praises. When an apikoires sees a pregnant woman, they go out of their mind. They lose their mind. They can't deal with this. Because they know deep, deep down in their neshamas, what's in that? The purity, the tahara of the Malach Hashem administering that oath. The tahara of Zera Yisupar. They can't deal with that. They go meshuga, mamash go meshuga. They go meshuga. It's not rational. The behavior you're witnessing now, you read some of these articles, even on mainstream media, you read these articles. What do you care so much? So protest, Azai, you know, this is the way it goes. Wait a couple of years, maybe there'll be another Supreme Court, a few more Democrats on the Supreme Court. They'll reverse it back the way you like. Up and down, you know, that's how it goes. That's how it goes. Just, this is the way it is. You won already. You got Biden for 4 years. You know, you got everything you want. The news, so that they got, yeah. Just wait it out. It's not rational. It's not rational to behave. Anyway, you want abortion, gesunde, hey, you'll get an abortion. Don't worry. One way or another, you'll get what you want. It's not rational. It's this stirring of ruchnius. Cannot tolerate the tahara, zera yisupar, the tahara of the shruas Hashem that every person senses is happening in that rechem. Okay, tomorrow, believe me, there. I wanted to finish today. Really wanted to finish today, but I think we'll get a real kick out of it going through what it says in the Radak. The Radak about the notes from, he describes in graphic detail what they did to him.
You know, the classic thing about this is they say that Democrats now know what a woman is.
Democrats,
what?
Everybody has
pointed that
out. So why is a mom didn't do anything?
It's very sad. It's very tough.
What happened to moms?